The following is Samuel Bowles' talk, Build Up Your Nerve, encouraging your team to shift their thinking from UX Thursday Detroit. UX Thursday is brought to you by UIE and Vitamin T. For more information about future UX Thursday events, visit uxthursday.com. That's uxthursday.com.
Hello, my name is Samuel Bowles, as Jared said. I'm from Mutually Human. You can find me on the Twitters there. I spell my name a little strange on Twitter. And today I'd like to talk about teamwork, which is great. Segue from where we just were. But more than that, I'd like to go a little bit deeper and I'd like to talk about how we design teams, if that's even possible. But what I'm not going to do in this talk is I'm not going to try to give you like 10 silver bullets on how to create the perfect team or even postulate how anyone else should do anything at all. I'd really just like to tell a story. It's a story that's sort of a personal story, and it's also a story of an organization evolving. It's a story of a designer stumbling into management and then encountering some really hard problems and questions and returning to design as a way to sort of unpack those questions and understand them. Now, even if you don't manage people, we all work on teams. And as we all work on teams, we all have the opportunity to influence those teams. And I found that the best strategies for organizational design are emergent and organic, and that you have the ability to influence them. So I think everyone has that opportunity. So, does that sound good? No? Okay. Sound good? Okay. All right. So, one of the early things I learned in my career when I was starting out in sort of advertising agencies is I realized that my creativity and problem solving were not sufficient to communicate my vision. One time I was working on a particularly complex WYSIWYG interface and I brought a developer over to see what I had sort of specced out, and he took a look at it for about 2 minutes as he looked over my shoulder with a scowl on his face, and then he said about 2 minutes in, "Nope, can't do that." And I was crushed. Not only was I crushed, I was perplexed. I thought, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way to accomplish this. So I went back to my desk and I decided I was going to prove him wrong. Now, I was young. I have since realized that this is a terrible way to win friends or influence people. But I learned JavaScript as I... yeah, there is something more important than JavaScript. Which is that, I don't even know what's being said. I learned something more important than JavaScript. I learned that in order to be successful in communicating with my coworkers, I would need to be able to communicate about the feasibility of the decisions that I was making. And so I set out on sort of a quest to become a more proficient in the technical side of what it is that I do. And I spent a lot of time improving my technical skills, nights and weekends, learning languages and databases. And I'm not a programmer, but I learned enough to be dangerous in these conversations. Dangerous, sometimes at the beginning, was negative, but hopefully I'm continuing to mature in that area too. But as I discovered this, I also found that there was an even bigger gap in my knowledge, a gap that would, from there, take me many more years to fill. I discovered that I needed to understand the needs and language of business. And so this is the part in my story where there would be like a swelling crescendo of music, and I would show you like a montage of pictures of me starting companies and partnering in others and doing a bunch of things. And then I would land at Mutually Human. And at Mutually Human, I joined a company that shared a lot of my perspective and vision, and they offered me the opportunity to think about some really hard questions and engage in sort of the design of the organization alongside of them, and thinking about how a creative and engineering culture could come together, and whether that was even possible to build a really healthy way for that to happen. And as I engaged with these problems, I kept asking myself the same question over and over again. I asked, are there general principles to organizational design? I really wondered, was there something that I could look to? So I started going out and looking for heuristics. I started reading as many books as I could. I read Taylor and Drucker and Ono, these management consultants. And when I landed on Ono, I discovered his book on the system. And I went deep into this and I realized there was something here if I could just uncover it. But I wanted a shining example, some company that was nearer to home both physically than Toyota and also conceptually to the kinds of work that we were doing that I could look to as my shining example. And I started looking around at all the companies around me, and I came to a terrible realization. So how many of you know of an organization, maybe even your own, that would consider itself lean in some way? Oh, wow, just a few. In some of the places I've been, and there's a lot more hands that go up, but then I often ask, so of those of you who have work in an organization that would consider itself lean, how many of those do you think actually are? And that's when I realized there's a tremendous noise to signal. There's a lot of people talking about these things and not a lot of people practicing, at least what I had read in Taichi Ono's book about the Toyota production system. So as I looked back on what I had read and what I had been learning, I realized that one of the things he kept talking about, he kept making these connections to nature. And so I took a lateral step. I said, okay, well, nature's a really interesting thing. Flow is a really interesting thing. You know, nature has 3.8 billion years on us in terms of evolving a continuous improvement system. Maybe there are some opportunities for us to learn something here. So I took a class in biomimetics, and as I dove deep into biomimetics, I was learning about the application of nature's design principles. And the biomimicry group calls this the conscious emulation of nature's genius. And as I dove into this, I realized that nature has this incredible economy of means. The cyclical nature of natural systems are an amazing example of optimizing for waste reduction. And as I dove even deeper, I discovered that biomimics often talk about a set of principles they refer to as life's principles. There's six principles, and these are the principles. Evolve to survive. Be resource efficient. Adapt to changing conditions. Integrate development and growth. Be locally attuned and responsive. And use life-friendly materials. Now, you can go very deep into these, and I can point you at resources to go deeper into biomimicry, but two of them stood out to me as easy places to start experimenting. We wanted to run some